Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 42. Well, we come this morning to one of the, I would argue, one of the most sobering passages in all of Mark's gospel. This morning we're going to hear about Jesus speaking about sin. He's going to be speaking about hell. He's going to be speaking about holiness. Jesus speaks about the very seriousness of following him. And it's important that we pay heed, pay attention to what he says here. But before we read, there's something that I want you to see in our scripture passage today, something that some of you may have noticed. If you're reading from the King James Version today, you might notice you'll have verse 44 and 46 in your Bible that are included. And that verse 44 and 46, by the way, is the exact same wording as verse 48. Now, if you're reading from the ESV, as I'm reading from, or any of the other modern translations, those verses are either they're placed in brackets or they're put down in a footnote. And the reason behind this is that the ancient manuscripts included those repeated verses, but the earliest manuscripts that have been found over the last couple centuries do not include those. But here is what's important. And hear me when I say this. Nothing has been taken away from God's word. Nothing. Nothing about the teaching of this passage has changed, whether you include those verses or not. Those exact words still appear in verse 48 in every Bible that we have before us this morning. So whichever faithful translation that you're reading from, again, please hear me. The message of Jesus Christ is exactly the same. So with that in mind, if you would please stand for our reading of God's Word. Again, this is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 42. This is the Word of the Lord. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the inspired Word of God. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is God's holy and perfect word. If you would please pray with me. Father in heaven, these are weighty words. These are hard words to hear. And Father, I stand before you trembling to even be able to preach such a passage. So Lord, I seek you. I seek your face. I seek your mercy. I seek your grace. Father, that by the Holy Spirit, you would use me to be your mouthpiece this morning. Father, would you speak to us that we would hear your word, that we would be convicted by your word. And Father, by your Holy Spirit, that we would leave this place and that we would truly hear and go out and live the warnings that you give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, recently, not too far back, I had the privilege, if you can call it that, of having a colonoscopy. And thankfully, everything came back clear. And I'm thankful for the Lord for that. Procedure. It was done at the hospital, and if you've ever been in one of those kind of recovery rooms, this certain place, it was over toward Winston-Salem, it had these kind of curtains in between each of the rooms that was sectioned off. And So you could hear a lot of what was going on. And as I waited, another gentleman was rolled in to the curtain beside me. Of course, I couldn't see him, but I could hear the conversation that was going on. I couldn't really understand and don't remember all the medical terms, but I remember this one sentence, this one thing that just struck me. He said, "Sir, this is serious." He explained that cancer had spread through most of his colon, and it had to be dealt with, and it had to be dealt with immediately. Now imagine the doctor coming in with that diagnosis, and he just smiled, and he said, "You know what? Don't worry about it. No big deal. You know, it's really not that bad. Just go home and, you know, live your best life now." I mean, no loving doctor would even begin to do that. Good doctor, he tells you the truth even when it's hard and difficult to hear. And why is that? Because ignoring that disease would make it so much worse. It just doesn't go away. It doesn't disappear. So why do I tell you all that? What does that have to do with our passage this morning? Well, it's as if Jesus, and he's our great physician, he's our doctor, he pulls up a chair beside you, not just the disciples, but all of us, you besides me, and he looks us in the eye and he gives us that diagnosis. It's not a diagnosis of cancer, but it's a diagnosis of sin. And then Jesus says, "This is serious." But aren't you thankful that he tells us? Aren't you thankful that he warns us? Because if we're left to ourselves, we'd never in a million years believe how serious sin truly is. We would say things like this, and I know I've said it before I even became a Christian. "Oh, it's not that bad. I mean, everybody struggles. I'll get around to it and deal with that later. Or I'm doing better than most people." That's the world we live in. We excuse sin. We even try to rename sin. We begin to compare ourselves to others of how bad they are compared to how good we are. We're so good at making sin sound reasonable and respectable. But the one who never does that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He tells you the truth because he loves us, and he tells us, he says, "Beloved, this is serious." And because it's serious, it must be dealt with. Not someday, today, now. Now, in the midst of all this, don't misunderstand what I'm saying or what I'm about to say. If you have repented of your sins, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ your Lord, you are secure. You can rest in the hope of Romans 8, chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is our hope, and praise God for that. But, and here's the big but, grace never gives us permission, ever, to make peace with sin. It doesn't. Grace teaches us to fight. We are to battle our sins. We are to fight our sins. We don't do it to earn God's love, but we do so because we've already received it. And the great news here is Jesus doesn't just diagnose us and then walk away. No, he stays and he tells us the truth. And before this passage is over, he's going to remind us why he came. He didn't come just simply to diagnose sinners. No, he came to save us. So our theme this morning is simple. It is this: Jesus loves us too much to let us take sin lightly. He loves us too much to let us take sin lightly. So that brings us to our first point: protect what Christ treasures. Protect what Christ treasures. Now, before we jump into verse 42, let's remember where we are in this passage. This chapter 9, the disciples, they have been arguing. They've been talking about and arguing over who's the greatest, who's the most important. And then last week we looked at what John kind of threw out there. He said, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." And if you remember what we heard underneath that, he was saying he wasn't one of us. The disciples, they're still thinking about themselves, their position, their reputation, who is part of their group. And all along the way, Jesus has been correcting that kind of thinking all along. Now, we come to this point where Jesus becomes even stronger. This is a continuation of discipleship, if you will, of what Jesus is continually teaching the disciples along the way, going to Jerusalem, going to the cross. And now he says, instead of pushing people away, he's saying, protect them. Take care of people. Jesus says, look at verse 42, says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin." Don't miss those words, "who believe in me." He's talking about believers. He's talking about his people. He's talking about his sheep. And again, do you hear the affection of the words of Jesus here? These aren't just church members. These are his people, people that he came to save, people he literally bought by his blood. And if they matter that much to Jesus, they must matter to us. And think about who that includes. It includes everybody. It includes the brand new Christian trying to learn what it means to follow Jesus. It means the young mom wondering if she's doing enough to point her children to Christ. It's the older saint who's quietly serving, faithfully praying, wondering if anybody notices anymore. Jesus does notice. He notices every struggle, every fear, every prayer, every tear. They are all precious to him. Every saint and believer in Christ is precious. That's why he says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin." That word "sin" is so important here to this passage. It means to influence somebody else. It's to become an obstacle that leads another believer into sin or unbelief. Beloved, that's what makes this verse so serious. It's making sin that just makes it look normal. It's making obedience just seem like it doesn't care, doesn't matter. It's unnecessary. It's literally putting something in their path that makes it harder for them to follow Christ. I mean, think about how Jesus starts here. Before Jesus talks about our own sin, he first reminds us that our lives affect other people. You know, when I thought about this week, you know, nobody follows Jesus alone. That's what this passage is saying, this verse is saying. Nobody follows Jesus alone. We need to realize that. People are watching us. Maybe it's your children, young believer, a friend right now who's struggling, somebody who's just trying to learn what following Jesus looks like, and they're watching you. And then Jesus here, he says something shocking. He says, "It would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." I mean, this is a great warning. This isn't just some small little stone put in your pocket. No, this is a massive millstone that donkeys had to pull to make it move. Once it's around your neck, there's no escape. Notice here, Jesus, what he says, it would be better. Not good, better. You know why? Because there's some things that are just so much worse than a physical death. That's how seriously Jesus takes this very spiritual well-being of his people. So let me ask you, Dad, what picture are your children seeing at home? Whether you have little kids or older kids. Same thing for moms. Your children are learning about Christ by watching your life. To the young adults, your friends, believe me, they're watching. They watch what you post. They watch what you laugh at, what you value, what you pursue. Believe it or not, you're showing them every moment of the day what it looks like to follow Jesus, whether you realize it or not. To the older saints, don't believe the lie that your usefulness is somehow behind you. Somebody is watching how you trust Christ, how you even suffer, how you finish your life well. Your life is, it's literally preaching a sermon every single day. And those things are hard for us. I think through the preparing this week, I thought of many myself, but who are you thinking about as I talk? Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a friend. Maybe there's words you wish, God, you wish you could have taken back. Moments you wish you could do over, and I think we've all been there. I know I have. We've all failed somebody. We've all been poor examples. But if that's where your heart is this morning, don't stay there. Run to Christ. Christ gives forgiveness. You see, this warning, it isn't meant to drive you away from him. It's meant to drive you to him. The good shepherd loves his sheep. He loves his wandering ones. He loves wandering sinners such as us. Beloved, he forgives, he restores, and he continues to change us. And he still delights to use broken people for his glory. So that brings us to our second point. Put sin to death before it destroys you. Put sin to death before it destroys you. So now Jesus turns from the influence that we have on other people to something even more personal. It's about us. It's much more personal. Verse 42, it asks, are you helping others follow me? Now Jesus gets very personal. He says, are you following me? Listen to his words. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. Those are hard words. They're supposed to be hard, pointed words. Jesus here is, he's trying to wake the disciples up. He's trying to wake us up. He's saying, don't play games with sin. Now, before you go out and do something crazy today, let's understand here, he's not literally saying, cut off your hand or your foot or tear out your eye. Your hand, beloved, isn't the problem. It's your heart. Your hand simply does what the heart desires. Your feet go where your heart leads. Your eyes, they look at what your heart loves. And notice how Jesus gives this progression here. He's not just giving us kind of three unrelated body parts. He's describing the whole person, the complete person, about what we do, about where we go, about what we desire. In other words, Jesus is saying every part of life, it belongs to him. Jesus is saying, whatever is pulling you away from me, deal with it. And notice the word Jesus keeps repeating here. He says, better. Better. It's better to lose a hand. Better to lose a foot. It's better to lose an eye. And Jesus here, he's not saying that those things aren't valuable. He says basically this, that nothing is more valuable than your soul. He's teaching us to measure everything by eternity. Everything, our habits, our relationships, our whatever the secret sin is that is just inside you. Beloved, nothing you give up for Christ will ever compare to what you gain in Christ. So let me ask you another question. What, you know, I'm preaching to myself here. Because I've asked myself this question all week. What is it for you? What is that sin? Maybe it's anger, pride, bitterness, lust. Whatever it is, maybe it's something that just nobody else knows about. But you know. Jesus knows. Not because he's looking for a reason to condemn you, because he loves you too much to leave you there in that sin. You see, sin, it never leaves you alone. It never stays where you leave it. It just continues to grow, and it continues to fester, and it continues to ask for more. The Bible, it says sin is deceitful. The sin, it promises life, but it always leads to death. It whispers, you know, nobody will know. It's not that big of a deal. It won't hurt anybody. You can stop whenever you want. But sin never tells you where it's taking you. Sin, it always shows you the bait, but it never shows you the hook behind it. That's why Jesus doesn't tell us just to manage sin. He tells us to kill it. As John Owen famously said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. There's another author that I love, A.W. Tozer. He writes this about sin. He says, a man by his sin may waste himself, which is to waste that which on earth is most like God. This is man's greatest tragedy and God's greatest and heaviest grief. I mean, think about that. Sin, it wastes people. I've watched it waste marriages. I've watched it divide churches. I've watched it steal years from people who can never get it back. I've watched it destroy families. Maybe some of you experienced some of that yourself, but hear me, Jesus isn't exposing your sin to somehow shame you. He's exposing it because he loves you. It's the same Savior who sits beside your bedside in your sin and your diagnosis. He says, beloved, this is serious, but it's the same Savior who says, come, come to me. There is mercy for wasted years. There is grace for us as broken sinners. There is forgiveness for everyone who comes into the light. That's why Jesus says this is so important, that this is serious, that it's urgent. And the reason it's urgent, he all of a sudden here, he says three different times, he speaks about hell. The word here in the Greek is Gehenna. It literally is the Valley of Hinnom, is a place just outside of Jerusalem. It was a horrible place where they had child sacrifices and all this craziness that you read about in the Old Testament. It was terrible wickedness and God's judgment on this place. And Jesus takes that familiar place to them And he points his hearers to such a far greater reality. It's eternal judgment. It's hell, hell itself. And then he quotes Isaiah 66, verse 24, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's not just hell, that's an eternal hell, a hell that never ends. Those aren't easy words to hear. They're not meant to be. Jesus doesn't soften them, and neither should we. If you ever go to a church that softens those words of hell and how the reality of hell, you need to run. Beloved, apart from Christ, if you do not receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, that is your eternal destination. That's the place where the worm doesn't die and the fire is never quenched. It's not a pretty place. That's why Jesus says, beloved, sin is serious. I don't know if you know this, but no one in Scripture speaks more about hell than Jesus. No one. The one who spoke the most about God's love is the same Jesus who speaks the most about hell. Why do you think that is? Because both are real, and because He loves sinners enough to warn them. As much as Jesus' love is real for you, eternal consequences, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, are just as real in hell. A doctor who hides that diagnosis for you isn't loving. A pastor who hides or softens what Jesus teaches, that definitely isn't loving. Jesus tells the truth because He loves us. These are the words of the Good Shepherd. And here where we are in this passage, the shepherd, he's on his way to Jerusalem. The shepherd will soon, not many days from this point, lay down his life for his sheep. That's why these warnings get so strong by Jesus. Love warns. And again, when you think about sin sometimes it just, we don't even realize it anymore. It just becomes numb to us. Has there been a sin you've stopped fighting? Has something that once troubled your conscience just so bad, now it's just, you don't even think about it. It's become normal. The Holy Spirit is putting His finger on something today. Beloved, bring it to the light. Don't ignore Him. Confess it. Run to Christ. Christ never turns away a repentant sinner. And again, I want to say it over and over again. Do not misunderstand me. Jesus isn't saying fight, 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 fight hard enough and I'll save you. No, not at all. He's describing what grace produces. When we came to faith in Jesus Christ, it changes us, changes our heart. We have a new spirit put within us. We just read that in Psalm for our call to worship. You see, before Christ, we loved our sin. Now we fight it. Before Christ, we defended our sin. Now we confess it. Before Christ, we made peace with our sin. Now we are to put it to death, to kill it. Not because we're trying to become good children or God's children, because through Christ we already are. Grace, it never teaches us to take our sin lightly. I want to say that over and over and over again. Grace doesn't teach us to take sin lightly. It teaches us to take sin seriously, never lightly. And that brings us to our third point, to live as Christ's refined people. Live as Christ's refined people. Well, after everything Jesus has said, you might expect him to stop at this point. But he doesn't. He doesn't end with hell. He ends with hope. Look at verse 49. For everyone will be salted with fire. It's here that he points back the disciples and now us back to the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, every sacrifice that was offered to God, it was seasoned with salt. The sacrifice, it belonged to the Lord. It was set apart for him. Now think about that today. If you belong to Christ, if you belong to him, you've been bought with a price. Your life isn't your own anymore. And because you belong to him, he's not even to begin to be finished with you. He's making you more like Jesus. More and more every day like Jesus. Sometimes it's through his word. Sometimes it's through conviction. Sometimes it's through trials. And sometimes it's through suffering. And if I could stop there just for a moment, some of you are in that fire today. You're living it. Maybe it's sickness or grief. Maybe it's a child who has wandered from the Lord. Maybe it's a burden no one else knows about. But believe me and hear me on this, God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. He isn't somehow punishing you. No, he's building you up. He's refining you. You might not completely understand it or get it today, but one day you will see. We're not one tear, not one sleepless night, not one trial. None of it will be wasted. Your Father has been at work all along, not to somehow destroy your faith, but to build it up, to strengthen your faith. Not to somehow push you away, but to make you more and more like his Son. That's why Paul, we know the famous verse, Philippians 1, verse 6, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. That right there is our hope. The Savior who called you is the Savior who is changing you. And then Jesus says here, he says, salt is good. You see, salt, it preserves. It keeps something from becoming what it would naturally become. Jesus says, have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourselves. Otherwise, live differently. Don't live like the world. Don't blend into the world. Going back to verse 42, when people spend time with you, that they would see Christ in you, that they'd see Christ changing you. Not perfectly by any means, but genuinely. By the way you forgive, by the way you love, the way you trust him when life is hurting you. The way you keep following him even when the road is hard. And little by little, Jesus becomes more and more visible in who you are. And then Jesus ends here with one last command. He says, be at peace with one another. This isn't just a random ending to the teaching. I mean, think back as we've talked through and walked through chapter 9 for several weeks now. The disciples, they have argued about greatness. John's tried to stop another fellow believer. Jesus here, he's warning others about causing others to sin. He warns them about tolerating their own sin. Now he shows us what his grace produces. It's to protect one another to fight for your faith. Fight your sin. Live differently. Be at peace with one another. Not perfect people, but forgiven people, growing people. People who are becoming more like Jesus every day. Because the one who saved us is faithfully finishing the work that he began. And it's that same Savior who warns us in this passage is the Savior who is patiently shaping us into the people that he calls us to be. So that's a lot. Where does this all leave us? Well, we've heard the diagnosis, and the diagnosis leads to one question. Is there any hope? And of course there is, because the great physician didn't tell us what was wrong. He just came to save us. That is our hope. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So let me take you back one more time to that recovery room. I'm sure I'll never see that man again, but I'll never forget those words that I heard from that doctor. This is serious. That doctor wasn't trying to frighten his patient. He just cared enough to tell him the truth. This morning, Jesus has done the same for us. He's told us the truth about sin, the truth about judgment, the truth about eternity, not because he wants to condemn us, but because he loves us. Beloved, our sin is serious. God's judgment is serious. Following Jesus, it is serious. And think here for a moment about Jesus. He is the only person who lived perfectly all of chapter 9 in Mark's gospel. He never caused another person to stumble. His hands never sinned. His feet never wandered. His eyes never looked upon desire. Yet those perfect hands were pierced. Those perfect feet were nailed to a cross. And on that cross, the Father poured out on his beloved Son the judgment our sins deserved, the very hell that he endured that we are warned about. And he did this so that everyone who repents and believes in him will never have to. Now think about the doctor. He could tell the patient the truth. He could explain the diagnosis. He could even recommend treatment. But there's one thing that that doctor could never do. He couldn't take the place of the patient. Jesus did. The great physician not only diagnoses our greatest problem, no, he steps into our place and he bore the judgment that we deserve through our sins so that everyone who repents and believes in him would receive eternal life. Beloved, that is the gospel. That's the good news. So whatever the Lord has shown you this morning, don't leave here carrying it. Bring it to Christ. Repent of your sins and come to him. He welcomes repentant sinners. He forgives sinners. He restores sinners because he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, and his sheep, beloved, will live in eternity with him. That's the hope that we have. So repent of your sin and come to him. Let us pray.